भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट 16 यत्रेदं यजयते विश्वं विश्वास्मिन् अवभातिय तत्त्वं ब्रह्म परं ज्योति आकाशम् इव विस्तृतम् यत्रेदं यजयते विश्वं विश्वस्मिन् अवभातिय तत्त्वं ब्रह्मपदं ज्योति आकाशम् इव विस्तृतम् यत्रेदं यजयते विश्वं विश्वस्मिन् अवभातिय तत्त्वं ब्रह्मपदं ज्योति आकाशम् इव विस्तृतम्
यत्र वेर इदं दिस यच्यते मैनिफेस्टेड विश्वम द यूनिवर्स विश्वस्मिन् इन द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन अवभाति इज मैनिफेस्टेड यत् दैट तत् दैट त्वं यू Brahma, the impersonal Brahman, Param, transcendental, Jyoti, effulgence, Akasham, sky. Iva, light. Vistritam, spread. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. My dear Lord, the impersonal Brahman spreads everywhere like the sunshine or the sky. And that impersonal Brahman, which spreads throughout the universe and in which the entire universe is manifested, is you. Purport. In Vedic literature, it is said that everything is Brahman and nothing else. The whole cosmic manifestation rests on the Brahman effulgence. The impersonalists, however, cannot understand how such a huge cosmic manifestation can rest on a person. Thus, this inconceivable power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not understood by the impersonalists. Therefore, they are puzzled and always denying that the Absolute Truth is a person. This wrong impression is cleared by Lord Shiva himself, who says that the impersonal Brahman, which is spread all over the universe, is nothing but the Supreme Lord himself. Here it is clearly said that the Lord is spread everywhere, just like the sunshine, by virtue of his Brahman feature. This example is very easy to understand. All the planetary systems are resting upon the sunshine, yet the sunshine and the source of sunshine are aloof from the planetary manifestations. Similarly, the sky or air is spread everywhere. Air is within a part, but it also touches filthy places and sanctified places alike. In any case, the sky is uncontaminated. The sunshine also touches filthy places and sanctified places, and both are actually produced by the sun. But in any case, the sun is aloof from all filthy things. Similarly, the Lord exists everywhere. There are pious things and impious things, but in the Shastras, the pious things are described as the front of the Supreme Lord, whereas impious things are described as the back of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord clearly says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadabhyaktamurtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastitah. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. This verse of Bhagavad Gita explains that the Lord is spread everywhere by virtue of His Brahman feature. Everything rests in Him, yet He is not there. The conclusion is that without Bhakti Yoga, without rendering devotional service to the Lord, even an impersonalist cannot understand the Brahma Tattva, the Brahman feature. In the Vedanta Sutra it is stated, Atha Ato Brahma Jignyasa. This means that Brahman, Paramatma or Parabrahman should be understood. In Srimad Bhagavatam, also the Absolute Truth is described as the one without a second. But He is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate issue. And in this verse, Lord Shiva confirms that ultimately the Absolute Truth is a person. He clearly states, Tattvam Brahma Param Jyoti Akasham Iva Vistritam. Here is a common example. A successful businessman may have many factories and offices, and everything rests on his order. If someone says that the entire business rests on such and such a person, it does not mean that the person is bearing all the factories and offices on his head. Rather, it is understood that by his brain or his energetic expansion, the business is running without interruption. Similarly, it is the brain and energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that carry on the complete manifestation of the material and spiritual worlds. The philosophy of monism explained here very clearly, adjusts itself to the fact that the supreme source of all energy is the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna. This is described very clearly. It is also stated how the impersonal feature of Krishna can be understood. Raso hamapsukaundeya prabhasmi shachi suryayaho pranavah sarvavedeshu shabdhakte paurusham rishu. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. In this way, Krishna can be understood as the mystic power in everything. Om Tatsat. Om Ajnana Timidanthasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girin Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swamin Itinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Vaschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Ram Hare Hare. Pardon me for coming late. I was under the impression that the class is at 8 o'clock. And somebody told me on the way to the room that no, you have to go now. It's 7:05. So I rushed here. I didn't get time to read the shloka too. This is a beautiful chapter. Song sung by Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, the greatest of Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu, he is glorifying Krishna as the Supreme Absolute Truth. So these prayers are very lovingly recited by Lord Shiva with great love for Krishna to the Prachetas, the sons of King Prachinavari, who are meditating and trying to serve the order of their father, King Prachinavari. So Lord Shiva is explaining to them about Krishna. In there is this particular shloka where Lord Shiva is describing the impersonal feature of Krishna. He mentions, my dear Lord, the impersonal Brahman spreads everywhere like the sunshine or the sky. And that impersonal Brahman, which spreads throughout the universe and in which the entire universe is manifested, is you. This is stated by Krishna, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the foundation of Brahman. And maya tatam idam sarvam. I am spread everywhere by my impersonal energy. So Prabhupada is very brilliantly explaining here how people don't go beyond the impersonal understanding of the truth and can very well get stuck. He's explaining how Krishna is a person and how when Brahman aspect of him is described, we should understand it in relation with the personality of Krishna. If we did not understand it in relation with the personality of Krishna, then our understanding will fall short and we can get diverted. We can get bewildered. So he is speaking about impersonalists who cannot understand Krishna. It's personal. So here a word of caution. Quite often devotees confuse impersonalists also with Mayavadis. Prabhupada is stating here impersonalists cannot understand the personal aspect of the Lord. But they have understanding of the impersonal aspect of the Lord and they think it is a be-all and end-all. Brahmavadis, sarvam kalvidam brahman, everything is Brahman, full stop, period, that's all. But Prabhupada is saying, no, that's not it. Where is the Brahman originating from? Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Krishna is saying, I am the source of Brahman. To think that that is the end of the understanding of the truth is not correct. So Brahmavadis can progress into higher levels of understanding in the association of devotees. You have in Bhagavatam wonderful explanation of how the four Kumaras smelt Tulasi from the lotus feet of the Lord and they were all Brahman realized, and after smelling the Tulasi from the lotus feet of the Lord they became devotees. This is a wonderful pastime related in the Bhagavatam. Also it is mentioned that Shukadeva Goswami was a fully Brahman realized person, and after hearing from Vyasadeva he became a wonderful devotee who spoke this whole Bhagavatam which we are reading now. So there are very exalted great examples of Brahman realized persons who became devotees. But there is also a great danger that a person will remain in the Brahman understanding because of self-satisfaction. I know I am Brahman. I am a spiritual entity. And in this way one can derive satisfaction from that, and that satisfaction can stop him from progressing further. So that is spiritual realization. And we understand from the Goswami's, Srila Prabhupada's books, we understand that beyond spiritual realization is a devotional realization. Devotional service and relationship with Krishna. That is more exalted. So quite often people settle down with a spiritual realization, Aham Brahmasmi. But we know beyond Aham Brahmasmi, is to understand that Aham, devotee, I am a servant of Krishna. In the Bhagavatam is also explained, if you did not do that, if you didn't climb up to that higher level of understanding, of service to Krishna, of understanding that I am a servant of Krishna, then you have the great danger of falling down from your Brahman position. Patanti adaha, jishma tangraya, because you have not tasted the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So you fall down from that position. Prabhupada explains like an astronaut who takes off into space, has no place to land, comes back. So Brahmavadis are also transcendentalists, classified as having transcended matter. But still they are in an unsafe position. Something like you have done some mathematics, you know, if you draw a graph, you have a y-axis and an x-axis. Then you have a 0-0 coordinate. And the negative y-axis goes down very deep. It's like very deep material life, total forgetfulness as you go below. Then at a certain point, at 0-0, you've sort of just about transcended matter. But that doesn't mean that you have progressed beyond on the positive axis. Beyond that is so much more, right up to service like the gopis are rendering to Krishna, which Lord Chaitanya has taught us is the highest form of understanding. Aradito Bhagavan Vajeshatanyas Tathama Vrindavanam Ramyakachit Upasana Rajavadu Varkenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumatto Mahan. So that particular aspect is what is taught in the Bhagavatam. And the 00 coordinate is Brahman realization. Just about you made it. Now it is good opportunity for you, now that you are clear of material misconceptions, now you can actually make progress in the genuine business of life, going towards Krishna. And if you didn't do that, you will fall down, patanti adaha, from there. So this is not uncommon. Prabhupada says in a purport in Bhagavad Gita, that in the beginning stages of spiritual life, a person is impersonal in his understanding. There's one stage you pass through. But by the association of devotees, that stage can be passed through faster. But if you didn't have the association of devotees, or if you were weak in your devotional service, then you can drag on in that position. So mostly, we understand from previous acharyas that Brahman realization is not something to be condemned. It's not to be confused with Mayavadi realization or understanding. Mayavadis are offensive to Krishna. Brahmavadis may not be, need not be. In their offenseless state, they can actually make progress. But it's a great opportunity to become offensive. By thinking Aham Brahmasmi and merging into the Brahman effulgence, aspiring for that, Sayujya Mukti, and then thinking that's all, I am Brahman. But the Shastra doesn't say Aham Param Brahmasmi, it says Aham Brahmasmi. And our business is to not become Aham Param Brahmasmi, but to become a servant of Parabrahman. Yes, Aham Brahmasmi, I am a spiritual spark, a entity, spiritual entity, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Mama Ivam Sajiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. Krishna is saying that in Bhagavad Gita. So this understanding is only available from the brilliant pages of Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada's books. Pure devotees of the Lord can explain this very clearly. And by the association of such wonderful devotees, we can transcend that concept and go beyond Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdiyate. Beyond the Brahman conception is the Paramatma understanding of the Lord. And in the Paramatma feature, He pervades more than the Brahman feature. The Brahman feature, Avyakta Murtina, is spread everywhere in His impersonal feature. But as Paramatma, as the Super Soul, Vishnu, Pravishyanti Tad Vishnu, He enters Andantara Paramanu Chayantarastam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He enters even the atom and situates Himself there. In this way, Krishna is pervading even in His personal feature, everywhere and everything. Therefore, devotees know that the Lord is situated everywhere. Therefore, they see everything as an energy of the Lord. Therefore, they utilize everything in the service of the Lord. They have a full understanding and therefore serve the Lord with every material facility that they have. They don't condemn anything as lower. This is a higher understanding. So Lord Shiva is very beautifully explaining this, because after this He explains the beautiful form of the Lord. Contrary to what impersonalists would think, that the Lord does not have a form, doesn't need to have a form. He goes ahead and explains the beautiful form of the Lord, describes the form of the Lord, the source of that Brahman. And that is very, very nice to hear. But devotees of the Lord, who are always interested in serving the Lord, they are not very enamored by Brahman realization.
Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapur akaksha pushpayate, Prabhudananda Saraswati said.
Merging with the Lord, becoming one with the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, is considered to be hellish for a devotee. My constitutional position is, I am a servant of the Lord. Why will I want to merge into Brahman? That is hellish. I will retain my identity as a servant of the Lord and develop a loving relationship with the Lord through devotional service. Right? So this is the understanding. And although sometimes people speak an impersonal philosophy, I have seen personally, I preach in Kerala, there are many wonderful temples. The Guruvayur temple is a place where Lord Shiva is known to have spoken in one yuga to the Prachetas in the temple's pond. Is where he came out from. It's also called Pracheta Kund. And he spoke to Prachetas some time. And there Lord Shiva actually gave that place to Krishna, because Brihaspati, Guru, and Vayu, the wind god, they came with this beautiful deity of Krishna, which was worshipped by Vasudeva and Devaki, Kashyapa and Aditi, and Prashni and Sutapa in all their three lifetimes. This particular deity was worshipped and Krishna appeared as their son. So that deity was bought by Guru and Vayu, and Lord Shiva spoke the glories of Krishna then and offered his place, because they said they came to look for a place. And Lord Shiva said, obviously I am sitting in the best place. I chose the best place and this is a place suitable for the Lord. I will move behind. There's the temple of Lord Shiva behind. And it is mentioned there, whoever comes to see the deity of the Lord, Krishna, he should take darshan of Lord Shiva in order to complete and get the full benefit of this darshan of Krishna. So, a great devotee, wonderful devotee of the Lord, Lord Shiva, he is speaking here similarly, and unless we can propitiate and satisfy such great devotees of the Lord, we will not be able to recognize and understand the personal feature of the Lord. Krishna is showing his two-handed form to Arjuna and he is mentioning that this is Durlabham. Very difficult to see this form. Very difficult to see this form. Unless one is specially benedicted with the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord, he cannot even understand that. That is why people have a great difficulty in understanding the personal feature of the Lord. Sarvam kalvidam Brahman. As per the shloka, Brahman is spread everywhere. And therefore lots of people think we don't need to go to the temple and see the form of the Lord. And lots of people do that, especially those who believe in this Brahman feature. They think everything is Brahman, why should I go to the temple? There are people staying close to the temple who don't visit the temple. And they say that everything is Brahman, why need to go to the temple? Prabhupada answered that by saying, if everything is Brahman, you rascal, then why can't Brahman be in the temple also? Because that is part of everything. So he is there too. So you should go to the temple. Why is it that you go everywhere except the temple? Something is wrong with your philosophy. Because you said, Brahman is everywhere. He is there in the temple too. He has manifested himself in his personal form, in a superior format. and you should go there and pay obeisances to Madhya Jimam Namaskuru. You should worship him. So in this way, impersonalists can get bewildered. So that is why we have been cautioned to be very careful not to fall into this trap. So although we understand the Brahman feature of the Lord, we are not very pleased with the Brahman feature of the Lord because we can't reciprocate with that feature. That is an opulence of the Lord that we can understand. But we can relate with the personal feature of the Lord. And the devotees revel in that. So Lord Shiva, after speaking this, is brilliantly describing the personal feature of the Lord. And he is always hearing the glories of Krishna, hearing the pastimes of the Lord, and eager to hear. Very eager to hear. In the same place, very close to Guruvayur, is a Lord Shiva's temple. And there are great devotees of the Lord related to the deity form of the Lord. I thought I'll just speak a little story to you before we end. This topic is too philosophical. Lord Shiva's story. That this wonderful Lord Shiva temple, a very great devotee of Krishna, his name is Kundan. He is known as a local preacher of the Bhagavad. And lots of local people gathered to hear him. Very wonderful devotee. He composed the essence of the Bhagavad in simple local language. So he was speaking Bhagavat in the month of Vaishakh, and lots of people came to hear him towards the evening. And he was speaking Rukmini Krishna Samvad, the pastime of Krishna speaking to Rukmini, teasing her by saying, "Oh, why did you marry me? I'm just a cowherd boy. So many kings were waiting for you. They were brave Kshatriyas, opulent. And you chose wrongly," etc., etc. I was teasing him. That portion he was speaking on. And he spoke so brilliantly. It was Lord Shiva's temple. And there's a huge banyan tree. He was speaking under it. He beautifully explained. And very satisfied, he put the bookmark. And then he closed his book, put his book under his arm, gave everybody blessings and left for the night. The temple closed. He was speaking for the last 4 days. He came the next day. He opened his book to speak. And he found again the bookmark is in the beginning of Rukmini Krishna Samvad. He said, "I think I spoke about this yesterday. Didn't I?" Nobody said anything. So he again spoke about Rukmini Krishna Samvad because the bookmark is here. And he spoke completely different from what he spoke yesterday. Beautifully explained Rukmini and her, story or history and everything. And then he was very satisfied. And he made sure he put the bookmark in the right place and closed the book. Closed his Bhagavatam and took it again. And everybody was wondering, "Wow, wow, what a wonderful explanation. So wonderful, sweet Krishna Katha." And they accepted prasadam a little bit and went. The next day he came, he opened the book. Again he saw the bookmark is in Rukmini Krishna Samvad. He said, "Hey, I think I already spoke this for the past 2 days. Then he asked them again, "Did I not speak this?" Nobody said anything. Nobody said anything. Then he again spoke Rukmini Krishna Samvad. And this was the last day. He spoke completely different from what he spoke the previous days. It was so wonderful. And everybody enjoyed it. But he closed the book and he made sure this is finished, the next chapter. And then he was wondering, nobody is saying anything. For 4 days I've been speaking Rukmini Krishna Sambhav. And everybody is very happy. And it was the last day. So they all did a worship of the Bhagavat. There was Kirtan, Bhajan, and he gave prasadam to everybody. And he was moving, but he was very thoughtful. So while I couldn't finish the other chapters, I just kept speaking Rukmini Krishna Sambhav. And nobody is asking about anything. So he took his Bhagavat and he was the last person to leave the temple and the gates closed. Actually, he forgot to take his Bhagavat. The gates closed, he walked quite a distance. Then he came back saying, I forgot to take my Bhagavat copy. So he came back but the gate was closed. But inside the compound under the banyan tree was sitting a very effulgent, beautiful person with a snake around his neck, with jada, mudi, head. And he was speaking from Kundanam's Bhagavat copy. And there was a very chaste lady, equally effulgent, wonderful looking, the lone audience sitting and listening to him. And he was speaking Rukmini Krishna Sambhav. And he was speaking and speaking, and then he sat down, Kundanam sat down near the gate and said, wow! What a sight! This is Lord Shiva himself speaking. I must hear this. So he heard. And it was so wonderful to hear. He heard it. And he was crying. And then by the time it was daylight, sun was rising, and this effulgent person, he closed the book and said, I think it's time people start coming to the temple, we should go. And he asked her, how is it? How did you like the description? He said, oh, wonderful, that lady said. So nice, but not as sweet and nice as Kundanam's explanation. Then Lord Shiva smiled and said, yeah, that's why I wanted to hear it again and again. And I put the bookmark there from him. And I'm recollecting all that and speaking again. So beautiful, so wonderful. And he took the Bhagavatam and he left inside the temple. At that time, Kundanam yelled and screamed from the gate. He said, my Bhagavat copy, it's my Bhagavatam. And then Lord Shiva smiled, turned around at him and said, you'll get your Bhagavatam in your house. It is there on top of the roof. And he disappeared. This story is very famous, that Lord Shiva, he is chanting the glories of Krishna. He always likes to chant the glories of Krishna. He likes to hear the glories of Krishna. He likes to hear the Bhagavat often. And he hears it from many devotees. And in this beautiful chanting, you can see he is doing that as a full devotee, feelingly describing the absolute truth, Krishna. That is why Lord Shiva, when he is asking Markandeya Rishi, can I give you some boon? Markandeya Rishi, who has great respect and reverence for Lord Shiva, is explaining, is asking, I just want one boon. What would I want from you? Nothing. I want this boon. Varamekam vrinayathati purnat kamabhivarshanat. That you are able to give full satisfaction for anybody. I just want this boon that I will also be a devotee and serve devotees like you do. Tat pareshu tatatvai, like you. So in this chapter, we can offer our prayers to Lord Shiva in his brilliant description of Lord Krishna, the absolute truth, that we may also, by reading his prayers, benefit by becoming devotees of the Lord, and we may be able to have the taste of hearing Krishna Katha. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki Nirantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaura Premanande.
It's 8 o'clock. Any question or any comment? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna very clearly says, Brahmanahi Pratishtaham. I am the foundation of impersonal Brahman effulgence. So how do the impersonalists cover this meaning? How do they explain this sloka, the impersonalists?
Well, I don't know. I haven't read any impersonalist commentary. Fortunately for me. But as I presume that with some amount of jugglery, word jugglery, they would manage that. You can always say many things. Right now, I don't know how to juggle those words. But since they're expert, they must be explaining it in some way. Because they can explain everything. Even Sarvadharman Parityachyam Amekam Sharanam Raja. They can explain Manmana Bhavamat Bhakto Madhya Dhimam Namaskuru. Everything in terms of impersonal understanding. Because I would say that Krishna is the Brahman, Saguna Brahman. Avyaktam Vyaktimapannam Manyunte Mam Abuddhayah. Krishna is explaining that. They would say that Avyakta, Brahman, is the origin. And the personal form of Krishna is subordinate to the Brahman aspect. So Krishna is defeating that by saying, Avyaktam Vyaktimapannam Manyunte Mam Abuddhayah. Those people who say that are less intelligent. In fact, they are no buddhi. But if that is their addiction, then they would go ahead propounding that. Right? We don't have to really worry about how they do that. They will do that to anything you give. Very expert.
Maharaj, I wanted to know this so that if I meet some impersonalists so that I can argue properly.
Don't have to waste energy. There are many other people who are innocent. You can preach to them. Om Tat Sat Chila Prabhupada Ki.